Welcome, church. Good morning. Happy 2023. I'm sure you've been greeted that way before, but how's your new year going so far for you? Pretty good so far. We're, what, about 11 hours into it, so not much can go wrong at this point, right? Well, I'm John and Abnett, one of the pastors here. I want to welcome you to our service. We have those of you in the house, and we have some of you online as well. I've discovered something about myself in New Year, and my goals basically are stay home, don't go to parties, and go to bed early. So essentially, my punishment as a kid has become my goal as an adult. You know what I mean? Have anybody else relate to that at all? because time is on our mind today, I thought I'd use a clock to illustrate your life. So I want you to think about the clock in the time in the clock as sort of the timeline of your life. So for example, if you're 20 years of age, it's essentially 8 a.m. in the morning for you, which means that much of your life is ahead of you. If you're 30, it's now 11 a.m., and you've got about 2,000 Sundays left to live. Aren't you glad you came for that cheery thought today? If you're 40, it's 3 p.m. If you're 50, it's now 6 in the evening, and you have about 1,000 Sundays left to live in your life. And if you're 80, well, tick, 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 tick. I wonder what it will be like when we cross the finish line of life. I wonder what it will be like when we draw our last breath on this planet and awaken in the next instant to see the face of the one who died for us. Look around the room for just take a quick glance around because not necessarily everyone who is here today will be with us a year from today. It's possible that some of us will have lived out our time on earth and will be called homeward. And the point of this message is my big idea, which says that there are rewards in store for those who remain faithful to the Lord. And so my encouragement to you is don't become weary in well-doing. Don't become weary in doing the right things, the righteous things in life. Amen, church? Because there is a payday that's awaiting you. Now, the backdrop for this message, if you're interested, is the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 25. You can open your Bibles to that if you want to. Matthew 25 is the parable of, well, the old versions of the NIV call it the parable of the talents. The more updated version calls it the parable of the bags of gold, which I kind of like. But the storyline is there's a wealthy landowner. He's going away for an extended period of time, and he calls in his three most trusted servants to give them a sum of money. To the one, he gives 5 bags of gold, to the other, 2 bags of gold, and to the third, a bag of gold. And I can tell you that a bag of gold, even one, is a fortune. I was at the coin exchange several days ago before Christmas, wanted to buy some silver coins, troy ounce silver coins for our grandkids, some of whom are here today. And as we were there getting those coins, the merchant also had a stack like yay high off the counter, stack about this high of gold coins. Now, a silver coin is fairly modest. Kids, I spent $25 for your Christmas present. Aren't you glad I'm so generous? But if you had gotten a gold coin, you would be thrilled because each gold coin is worth $1,900 and change. $1,900 is what each gold... And so the thought that the servants were given this vast sum of money is just an amazing thing, as Jesus tells the story. And then the master says, I want you to invest this, I want you to grow this, so that when I return, there's more than I gave you, so that I can have a good accounting. And what that says to us, what that says to me, is that the choices that we make now, whether we realize it or not, or even think about it or not, that the choices that we make now in this life will matter for all of eternity. Don't you believe that? That's the truth. See, what happens is we make our choices, but eventually our choices make us. We make our choices in life, but our choices will eventually make us. I need 5 volunteers just to come to the front, if you would please, right now. Can I get 5 people just to pop up to the front real quickly? Okay, there's 1, 2, we got 3, I need a couple more. My lovely granddaughter, Lucy. There she is. And I need one more. Can I get one more person? One more, okay, I want you to line up. Oh, there, we got them. Okay, line up the shortest to the tallest. Okay, you're almost in that order now. No, you're taller than. No, who's taller? The guy in the red sweatshirt or the guy in the suit? Yeah, okay. Sorry, Pops, you got beat out. Turn around and face the audience. Okay, can you all hear me okay? Can you five hear me okay? All right. While you're kind of, I want you to line up, going down that line in the middle, line up. Lucy, you be in front. Okay, Cheryl, you're next. All right. And John, okay, like that, good, okay. Come back a little ways, because you're gonna need to kind of go to the. Don't worry about it. Anyway, while you're thinking about that, just listen to what I'm gonna tell you. A friend of mine, my son-in-law Tim's dad, is a fundraiser in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's worked for nonprofits for most of his life, I think, and I don't think it was this year, but not long ago. This nonprofit organization, good organization called Gilda's Club, sent out a fundraising letter for the end of the year giving, because ministries and nonprofits do that a lot, end of year giving. And instead of using the word opportunities to give, the word that they used were poopertunities to give. Now, so apparently that doesn't sound as funny to you as it did to me when I first heard about it. But this is an opportunity for you, not a poopertunity for the five of you right now. This is an opportunity because, like I said earlier, we make our choices, but our choices make us. So I'm going to give you some options right now, and if you choose option A, I want you to move three steps to the right. If you choose option B, move three steps to the left. Can you all, y'all got room to move there? Okay, all right, so here we go. So option, here's the first one. Would you rather live by the beach or in the mountains? If you want to live by the beach, go three steps to your right, or the mountains, three steps to your left. And don't do what the other people are doing. So everybody wants to live by the beach, okay? Here's the next one. Do you prefer dogs or cats? Dogs to the right, cats to the left. Dogs and cats. Seriously. Okay. Would you rather spend a day in the city or a night in the country? City, right. Country, left. A day in the city or a night in the country? Okay, Nathaniel? All right. Okay, here's a good one. Would you rather be smarter or better looking? Smarter, three steps to the right, or better looking, three steps to the left? Yeah. Okay. One more. My messages, are they too long or just right? Three steps to the right if they're too long, three steps to the left if they're just right. Oh! Nathaniel, I think salvation is beyond you, my friend. All right? Give him a hand, everybody. Go ahead and sit down. So the master comes home. He's been away for an extended period of time, and this is what he says to those who've been loyal to the cause. Matthew 25:21 says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And right there, church, is what you can look forward to on payday. I'm calling the finish line payday for the sake of my message, okay? Right there is what you can expect on payday. And I want to talk to those of you online and in person, who have every intention of remaining faithful to the Lord your entire life. There are three words I want to lay on you today, and the first word is commendation. Say that word back to me. Amen. Commendation means that God will give us personal praise. God will give us personal praise. When you take your first step into heaven, if I'm reading this parable correctly, the first words that you hear will be from the Lord Himself, who will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant, well done." You know, here at Broadway, like most churches, considerable energy and time is spent in worshiping the Lord. It's not just the time that we have when we gather here corporately as the church, but ahead of time, musicians gather and they practice, they rehearse. But even before that, there's a lot of thought and preparation that's given into what songs are we going to sing and how are we going to structure the service and all those kinds of things. But have you ever thought about the fact that God will one day not worship you, but He will praise you? He will lavish you with His words. Think about that. This is the God who speaks and mountains tremble. This is a God who says a word and entire planets come into existence. What will it be like when you cross the finish line, when you stand there on payday and hear the words of the Lord commending you? Those seem like such simple words, well done, good and faithful servant. But when you hear it directly from the lips of the Lord, I tell you that those words will ravish you like none you've ever heard in your lifetime. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you have to look forward to on payday. But I don't think it stops there. I think it gets even more personal than that. The Apostle Paul says this, "So be careful not to jump to conclusions before the Lord returns as to whether or not someone is faithful. When the Lord comes, he will bring our deepest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. And then God will give to everyone whatever praise is due." And I take it from that verse that God's commendation to each one of us will be individualized and personalized to each of us. Can you imagine being in a room, a gathering of your peers? Let's say you're a scientist or an actor. And you're there for the Academy Awards, or you're there for the awarding of the Nobel Prize, and your name is called. You're the top scientist. You've contributed the most, or you're considered the greatest actor of that year. And the entire audience, as your name is called, rises to their feet in a standing ovation for you. But I tell you something, church, that God's word to you on payday will be a million times better than even the greatest standing ovation you could ever get in your lifetime. Even if you're never given a standing O in this world, in your lifetime, nothing would be better than hearing the word, the Lord say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But it doesn't stop there. Because John, in his vision of heaven in Revelation, says this, in Revelation 2:17, "To everyone who is victorious, I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." Now, in Bible times, there were white stones that were given to Roman citizens. And they would carry those stones around as sort of their personal identification. The way that you carry around your driver's license today would be the way that they carried around a white stone. And this it would be what the white stone might look like. This isn't a white stone. This is from my domino set back home, okay? But you get the idea. You know, it could be ivory. It could be marble. Whatever the stone looks like. But this would basically be your identification as a Roman citizen. And that's what John is likening this to. But it gets better than that, because if a wealthy Roman were to throw a lavish party, he might send out invitations to those that he wanted to be there. And the invitation might be like this tessera. It's called tessera stone. And this would be your entrance. This would be the way that you would gain entrance into that gala event. And God says to us, "You're an overcomer in life. And I give to you a white stone," but it gets even better than that. Because on this white stone, John says in Revelation, is engraved your name, your identity that's known only to you. And who you are in heaven and what your identity will be in heaven is going to be something that will be celebrated. You will have a new name written on stone, and it will be your name and your identity to be celebrated for eternity in heaven. You know, I don't know if we're actually going to have a name change. In the Bible, it was a fairly common occurrence. In the Old Testament, the patriarch Jacob, God renamed him Israel. And then Jesus renamed Simon. He said, you were Simon, but you're now Peter. You're now the rock. Saul, the persecutor of the church, became the beloved apostle Paul. And so it's possible that some of us will be given new names in heaven that will be commensurate with what we did on this earth. Maybe your new name in heaven will be Generous Giver or Servant Savant. Or Bible Einstein. Or maybe you'll have to settle for a little lesser name, like Not Crabby All the Time. I don't know, something like that. But God is going to give you a name in heaven, an identity in heaven, that will be in character, that who you've been on earth, and there will be an affirmation of who you are, who you've been in your lifetime. Well done, good and faithful servant. I long to hear those words, don't you? I long to hear those words. You see, the thing is about being a Christian, and I hope this doesn't disappoint or surprise any of you, is when we talk about what it means to follow Christ, we say, well, you know, you need to spend time in the Word. You've certainly got to dedicate yourself to prayer and giving and witnessing and serving, all those kinds of things. But you realize there's little intrinsic value in any of those things. I mean, there's little earthly reward for the things that we do, for the things that we undertake here. The rewards are largely spiritual. But I'm telling you this because whatever commitments that you've made in this life, whatever sacrifices, whatever efforts you've given will be so worth it someday on payday when God honors you. You will have a commendation like you've never imagined before. That's the first word. The second word is promotion. Say that word back to me. Promotion, which means that God will give us even greater responsibilities in heaven. The master said to the servant in the parable Jesus tells in Matthew 25, you've been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. So it sounds to me like we're going to have some amazing responsibilities in heaven, but what will those responsibilities be? Well, I don't really know for sure, but in Luke 19, Jesus tells a similar parable where the master says to the servant, you've been faithful, I'm going to put you in charge of 10 cities. And then he says to the other servant, I'm going to put you in charge of 5 cities. But whatever it is, God is going to put us in charge of things. And as I was writing this message, I thought about our daughter Stacy, who, when she was about 10, was on a competitive swim team, and she competed against other, her team competed against other swim teams throughout the summer season. And Stacy was a good swimmer, but she didn't always win her race because there was one girl who was consistently faster in time than Stacy. And so, in fact, Stacy had never beaten this girl this particular swim season, and it was now the final swim meet of the year. And this other team was there, and her team was there, Stacy's team was there. And so before she raced this girl for the last time that year, I said to her, look, just before the race started, I said, look, if you win the race today, I'll buy you a new bicycle, all right? And so when the starter gun sounded, Stacy churned through the water like I couldn't believe. I mean, and she easily won by at least 2 lengths. And she, I'm not making any of this up, she hopped out of the pool and ran over to me and said, make it a blue one. That's what she told me, make it a blue one. What does a bike have to do with swimming? Absolutely nothing. You know, I mean, I should have said, you can buy a new swimsuit of your choice or whatever. What I didn't tell her was, I was going to buy her a new bike anyway, so it didn't make any difference, right? That was the plan. But the point I'm trying to make in sort of a roundabout way is that one day that we'll have responsibilities that will be in keeping with our service here, with what we've done here. God will reward us according to our actions. Listen to what Paul says in his closing words in 2 Timothy 4. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul says, God is going to celebrate the righteous way that I've lived my life. And what will that award be for the Apostle Paul? This amazing, the greatest missionary of all time, the greatest church planter of all time, is he going to get a wad of cash in heaven? No, that will make no sense. It will be worthless. Will he get a large trophy in heaven? I doubt it very highly. The reward for faithful living here on earth will be greater responsibility in heaven, but don't think of it as a drudgery. Think of it as a delight. One of the last scenes of the Bible reads this way. In the last chapter, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, John says, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and they will what, church? Reign. They will reign forever and forever. Forever and ever. Randy Alcorn, in his marvelous book, Heaven, if you've never read it, you should. Randy Alcorn says that he believes that God is actually going to let us help him run the universe. Can you imagine that? Not that God needs our help, but he's going to graciously step aside and allow us a part and parcel of overseeing the universe. And God will give us renewed bodies, renewed minds, renewed energy, renewed purpose. You'll have goals and devise plans and actions. And God will give you responsibilities in keeping with your interest. So, if, for example, if your interest here is astronomy, maybe the Lord will allow you to discover new galaxies. If your interest is in horticulture, maybe to devise a whole new species of flowers or maybe animals or whatever. But think about it this way. Our best work day on earth, can you remember or can you think back to a time when you went to work and you got there in the morning, you were full of energy, full of passion, full of purpose that day, and everything just flowed. I mean, the team you were working with, everybody was in sync, you were in harmony, and at the end of the day, you realized we have really accomplished something significant here. This has been an amazing day of work here. That will be just a microcosm of just an average work day in heaven, if you can call it that. Just a foretaste of the responsibilities. And yes, we'll rest in heaven, and we'll want to rest in heaven, but we'll also work because we'll enjoy it. It will actually be something you want to do. I know right now the idea of responsibilities and work seems foreign to a lot of us, but if your idea of heaven is nothing but one long church service, sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp, you are so far from it, you know? You're so far from it. Yes, you'll praise God, we'll do that. But we'll also be constantly discovering new things. Every day in heaven will be a day of wonder and delight and new discoveries. And whatever you're faithful with here, listen to me, this matters right now. Whatever you're faithful with, whether it's a little or a lot, God will give you commensurate more responsibilities in heaven. The master says to the servant, you've been faithful with a few things. Now I know I can trust you with many things. When the Lord puts something in your hand now and here, and you do well with that, then you can know that in heaven you will be given much more. So there's also celebration. That's the third thing. Say that word back to me. Celebration. Which is that God will give us a joyful relationship. I'm speaking about the relationship with Him. You know, in the parable again, the master says to the servant, come and share your master's happiness. And as awesome as it will be to hear God praising you and commending you, as awesome as it will be to be given greater responsibilities, as amazing as it will be to be given a tessera stone with your identity on it, nothing will compare with seeing God face to face. Face to face. Whether you realize it or not, church, this is what you were made for. To be in the presence of the one who loves you. Amen? And the one who gave himself up for you. One day on payday, you will begin that joyful relationship. King David said this in Psalm 24. Psalm 27. Let's read this together. Can we? On Psalm 27. Here we go. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And then Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will what? They will see God. You know, when an incoming president of the United States is inaugurated, there are all these gala events in Washington. They have balls and banquets and dances, and some of the tickets are easily come by, but many of them are hard to come by, if not impossible, because this is such an event, such a celebration. Nothing compared to the celebration of heaven. But here's the thing, and this is what I want you to ponder. And this may be a foreign thought to some of you, but I wanted to develop this a little bit with you today. Your capacity to enjoy God in heaven starts now. Your capacity to enjoy God in heaven is somewhat dependent on your capacity to enjoy God now. So my question to you is, how much joy do you find in the Lord now? How much of your time, I mean, every believer in Christ will be there, yes. But I think we'll have varying capacities of joy in heaven. Let me illustrate it this way. I don't know if you know this, but the mega lottery that I've never played, this just rolled over again. So now, as of this morning, the amount of the winning total, if anybody wins it, is $785 million. That would probably change your life a little bit, wouldn't it? That's a lot of money. Let's say that I play and that I win. And to celebrate my winning, I said, let's take the entire church and let's go on a 7-day Caribbean cruise. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, we go on this cruise and we're going to go to the Bahamas. We're going to go to Jamaica. We're going to sail over crystal clear waters. So everybody in the church gets to go. And we jet on chartered flights from Phoenix to Miami. We board this cruise ship, and we're on this, we'll put a picture up, that's just the finest cruise ship in the world. That's what we're on, all right? And I want you to think about this. We're all going to be in the same environment. We're all going to be eating at the same tables, the same food. We're all of us are going to be doing the same thing, but we will have varying capacities to enjoy a seven-day cruise, and here's why. Because some of you will be concerned about the extra pounds you put on this winter, and you're going to say, no way am I going to wear a swimsuit in front of anybody else. Ain't going to happen, so you don't. You know. And others of you will be concerned about your dermatologist warning, who says stay out of the sun, so now you can't go outdoors at all during the daylight hours. You got to stay inside in your cabin. Others of you are going to be on Dramamine 7 days because you get seasick, amen? Whereas for some, this will be the adventure of a lifetime, the trip of a lifetime. Same environment, same circumstances, different capacities to enjoy the same thing. Can we grow our capacity to enjoy the Lord? That's the question. Well, let me ask you this question, because we tell the truth in church. Can I get an amen to that? I love that, because now you're going to have to, now I'm going to put you, how many of you overate at Christmas? Anybody here besides the preacher overeat at Christmas? Ain't it great? Ain't it great? My wife, Sonia, is an amazing cook. Our tradition at our home is Swedish meatballs at Christmas in this amazing rich gravy, and then she also made a roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, and all kinds of side dishes and relishes, and Costco rolls slathered in butter. You know that? You can, you know, I'm of the opinion that butter covers a multitude of sins. Amen? Anyway, you eat and you can't stop. You just keep eating and eating and eating. And finally, I could barely push myself away from the table. And it wasn't just a moment later, it seems, and we were being called back for pie and ice cream and cookies and all kinds of delicacies. And I discovered that even though I thought I was full before, I wasn't all the way full. I could actually eat more. And I'm pretty sure that my waistline grew by 2 inches, you know, just on Christmas alone. Part of our job, if you want to call it a job as Christians, is to figure out ways to expand our capacity for the Lord, to grow our capacity to enjoy God. Jonathan Edwards was this great Puritan preacher who said that in heaven we're all going to be vessels of varying sizes. Each of us will be filled to overflowing. It's not that you're not going to be filled to overflowing. This isn't Jonathan Edwards. This is me. Put that next photo up if you would, Sid. Some of us are going to be super tankers. Some of us are going to be salt shakers in heaven, you know, because we will have varying capacities to enjoy the Lord. So the question is, how can I grow my capacity to enjoy God? And this is not novel. This is the same stuff you've been hearing your entire Christian life. Spend more time with God in the Word. You know, this is the first day of a new year. What a great day to make a commitment, starting right here, right now. I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to be in the Word every day, consistently, faithfully, loyally. I'm going to spend time with God meditating on what I've read. I'm going to spend time talking to God about what I've read. I'm going to connect with God by connecting with other people. There are all kinds of ways that God gives us to expand our capacity to actually enjoy Him. Like maybe becoming more generous with our time, or more generous with our giving, with our finances, or maybe more generous with our serving, or more loving, or maybe for some of us who have rarely stepped out in faith in the last several years of our lives, maybe to finally step out in faith in some way. And somehow, stepping out in faith allows us to enjoy the Lord even more. I'm talking about expanding our souls. And that's what this is really about. And when you engage in the kind of activities in your life that expand your soul, then you will hear one day these words, come and share your master's happiness. I have this theory, and this is just my theory, that enjoying God is a lot like exercising. On this New Year's Day, how many of you believe that you should probably exercise more, all things being equal? Is there anybody here that honestly thinks that you should exercise less? How many hands are going to go up now? Not many, right? So let's say that maybe for New Year's, you've already committed yourself to exercising. And by the way, walking is a great exercise. I'm told that. I believe that. You know, that if, let's say that you walk 2 miles a day for your health, but you can't walk 2 miles a day right now because you're just not there. So maybe the first day you just walk to the street corner and back home. The second day, maybe you walk, you know, to the next street corner and then back home. And maybe by the third day, you're going around the block and then going around the block twice. And before long, you're actually able to get up and walk 2 miles. And the thing is that the more you do it, the more you enjoy it. And the more you enjoy it, the more you look forward to it. And I think it's that way spiritually. The more you do something, the more you enjoy it, and the more you enjoy it, the more you look forward to it. Heaven is an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste. And if a person has no taste for God, if a person has no desire to spend time with God, if a person doesn't give God any attention in his or her life, then there's no doubt that that person is not looking forward to heaven. And maybe that's the person that the Lord would address as Jesus addressed the third servant in his parable, where he said, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." But I don't believe about that about anybody in this room right now. I believe much better things about you. I believe that you want to enter into God's happiness, do you not? Into the Master's happiness. But church, listen to me. It begins right now. It doesn't begin when you get to heaven. It begins right here, right now. Amen, church?
Amen.
Let me pray about this. Bow your hearts and heads, would you? And so, Father, we just lift these thoughts to you today. I know, Lord, that you want us to grow our capacity to enjoy you, to love you, to find fellowship with you. Would you help us to do that, Father, in these times in which we live? And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.